All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We have two sponsors for this morning's daf. To thank Chaim and Jackie Nachman for sponsoring the shiur in memory of Jackie's mother, Drezel Nechama Bas Chaim Yidel, Zichrono Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama has an aliyah. And to thank David Kahana for sponsoring in memory of his father-in-law, Zev Ben Shlomo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. And also to dedicate our learning for a full shlema for Charna Tova Bas Rachel Leah. Hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah she has a complete and enduring refuah. All right, so today's daf is Nun Gimel. We have a lot to do today. A lot to do every day, but a lot to do today as well. So we left off. I'm sorry. Baruch Hashem. All right. Good. All right, so we left off yesterday with. Amrle Abaye. Elam Rabbi, good, thank you. So Nun Beis Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Abaye. I keep just missing it. I'm sorry. Ella Amar Abaye, how come I ask? What's the case here? Kigon the Amar Lo Iskachi Ma'amar Yavmin, where a man says to a woman, "Become mikudeshes to me with Ma'amar Yavmin." So I will say Ma'amar Yavmin will be become mikudeshes to me in a court with the Ma'amar of Yibum. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Savar, Rebbe holds Ma'amar Ilui Zeka Karami, that Ma'amar builds on top of Zeka Va'ase Chalitza, and once Chalitza has been done, Afka Sala Zeka, the Zeka's gone. And once the Zeka's gone, of course, we're both saying, then what? Then the Maisi, again, if you look at Rashi, Ma'amar Ilui Zeka Rami, Ma'amar Detakin Rabbana Lachala Yavmin, Lo Takun Ella Hecha Dekaima Zeka. Meaning, when is there Ma'amar? Only when there first was a Zeka. Va'asa Ma'amar, V'itosif Allah, Ma'amar is added on top of the Zeka. V'hacha Lekal Neymar Hachi Da'asya Chalitza Nafka LaZeka. Therefore, Rabbo said, if you hold that Ma'amar built on top of Zeka, then Lemaisa, again, once the Zeka is gone because of Chalitza, then by definition, the Ma'amar will not work either. For Rabbanan Sarvi, the rabbis hold, that Ma'amar is separate and Zeka is separate. And therefore, again, Ma'amar would be able to be affected even in the absence of Zeka. Rashi says, Hailu Chudekoi, Velamahani Zeka le Ma'amar, Hilcha Chashta Kmeikara, Meikara Ilu Amrla Iskachli be Ma'amar Yavin, Milo Kani. So actually, let me finish reading this in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Sarvi, Hailu Chudekoi, Hailu Chudekoi, Ma'amar is separate and Zeka is separate. Ilu Amrla Iskachli be Ma'amar Yavmin mi lo mahani. If he would have said before the chalitza, "Become mikudeshes to me with ma'amar yavmin," it would have affected kiddushin. Hashtanami mahani. So too over here, it affects kiddushin as well. Granted, post chalitza, it affects regular kiddushin. Essentially, what the rabbanon are saying is that ma'amar is not an additional tier on top of zeka. Rather, ma'amar is another word for kiddushin. So just like it could have affected kiddushin with her prior to the chalitza, he could affect kiddushin with her after the chalitza. I want to be clear. Even the rabbanon who are holding that you could affect ma'amar after chalitza are still obviously going to hold that what? That it's aser. You're not allowed to do it. But the shaila is, if you did it, does it work? So the Gemara goes, Vayit. Rava says, Rava has a different approach. Rava says, no. If the Yavam said to the Yavama, becoming, I will say, this is all taking place after chalitza. If the Yavam said to the Yivama, this is just continuation from yesterday, become Ma'amar Yavmin with Ma'amar of Yibum, Kuli Amalo Pligi Dimahanya. Everyone agrees that it'll work. V'achamar asking, so here, what are we dealing with? Kigom do Amarla Hiskanchili Bezekas Yavmin. Where he says, become Mikudeshes to meet with the Zeka of Yibum. And Rabbos, remember, he's saying this after chalitza has already taking place. Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds top of the Gimel, Yesh Zeka. There is such a thing as Zeka. As we've spoken about many a time, there's Zeka. And therefore Rashi says over here, Hai ditafis ma'amar ba'alma. When ma'amar in general takes effect, when is that? He says, bless you, b'chi hai lishna mishum diyesh zeka, v'hashta asoy chalitzasa v'avka v'lekalamim harachis. So we'll say, Rebbe holds like this. Why do we say that lemaisa ma'amar works? Because there's zeka, and when there is zeka, ultimately again, the ma'amar is able to go ahead and latch onto the zeka. Therefore, again, va'asei chalitza afkase lezeka. Chalitza comes along and takes away the zeka, and therefore, again, what? And therefore, lemaisa, when you go ahead and you say hiskat shili bezeka siavmin, after you've already done chalitza, according to Rebbe, such a statement is absolutely meaningless. On the other hand, Rabbanan Savri ain't Zeka. And the Rabbanan, on the other hand, say that no, there's no Zeka. And therefore, again, Meikara ilu amar lahis kachli bezekas yavmin mila mahani. If he would have said to her again before Chalitza, become Kudesh to me with the Zeka of Yibum, would it not work? Hashta nami mahani. So too it works over here as well, even after Chalitza. Rav Sharvia says no. Rav Sharvia amar. Bechalitza kshera. When there was, what does chalitza kshera mean? Chalitza kshera means a chalitza that took place not in the aftermath of any other process. For example, if let's say again, he went ahead, a man did ma'amar, and then afterwards he did chalitza. So that's called a deficient chalitza. Chalitza kshera means just a regular case of normal chalitza. In a case of chalitza kshera, either Amrla his kachli bezekas yavmin, if he would say to her after the chalitza, become mikudeshes to me with the zeka of yavmin, zekas yavmin, the zeka of yibum, koli amalo pligi delomahani. Everyone agrees, I will say that what? That would not work. Why wouldn't it work? Because lemaisa, you did a bona fide chalitza, which means the marital bond is severed, and then to go in and tell it to become mikudeshes to you with the zeka of yibum, when the zeka of yibum no longer exists, everyone agrees, it's just simply ineffective. So the Gemara says, V'hacha, what's the case over here? The chalitza psula kamiflagi. Oh, I will say the case over here is dealing with the chalitza psula. Look at Rashi. First short line in Rashi. What's a chalitza psula? Says Rashi. Kigon shechalatz achar haget. The case would be over here where chalitza was done after the get was given. Kigon shechalatz achar haget kamiflagi rabbanon. Kigon shechalatz achar haget. So the case of Rabbi says where he gave her the get first. He gave her the get, and then chalitza was afterwards. So why is this called the chalitza psula? Because remember, the get already serves to go ahead and erode the bond between the yavam and the yavama. Therefore, again, although chalitza comes and kind of seals the deal afterwards, that's called the chalitza psula. So what's the chap of Rebbe? So listen to this. Mar savar chalitza psula poteres. One opinion holds that chalitza asura poteres. A chalitza psula, even a deficient chalitza, Totally exempts her from the Yibum Band. Umar Savar Chalitza Psula Eina Poteres. And I will say the other opinion holds that no, a Chalitza Psula does not exempt her from the Yibum Band. Rav Ashi says no. The Chuli Amo Chalitza Psula Eina Poteres. Everyone agrees that a Chalitza Psula is compromised. Doesn't totally exempt her. And Rabbi says, here, what are they arguing about? This is actually very interesting. Can you put a tnai in the chalitza? Mar savar yesh tnai bechalitza. One opinion holds there is a tnai in chalitza. Umar savar ain't tnai bechalitza. And the other opinion holds about Rabbi says, there is no tnai bechalitza. Well, it's actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, yesh tnai bechalitza. Shechalatz la. Amenas shetiti lo masayim zuz. I will say, what's chalitza with the tanai? So a man says to a woman, I hereby divorce you on the condition that you give me 200 zuz. Okay? So I will say, so again, the truth is you can give a get al tanai also. You could so easily see this happening in a situation where the yavam is willing to do yibum. She doesn't want to do yibum. He says, fine, no problem. I'll give you an out. Pay me 200 zuz. So this is machlokes, is there a tnai b'chalitza or not? So one opinion holds yes. The other opinion holds that there is no tnai b'chalitza. Let's finish that Rashi. Shechalas la'manash atid la'masayim. So Rebbe Savar, ain't tnai b'om b'chalitza. Rebbe says, you can't impose a tnai b'chalitza. Va'afilo lo natna lo. Ein tnai moil v'havi chalitza hilchach lo tafis ma'amar she'asa b'lashon zekas yav min abasra da afkasa lezekaso v'rabbanon yesh tnai v'chol kamad lo kaima lo paka zeka v'chi amal iskach li ayde kesef li bezekas yav min kani. So let's listen to this. Rebbe holds there is no tnai b'chalitza. And I will say, what does that mean if you hold there is no tnai b'chalitza? What does that mean if you hold that? That means that even if the man makes a tnai, the tenai is meaningless. So, for example, if he says he does chalitza, then he says, "I'm doing this chalitza. Chalitza will only be effective in the event that you pay me 200 zuz." Say, if you hold yesh tenai like the rabbanon hold, then enachinami, even though they went through the behavioral process of chalitza, it's not valid until she pays him the money. On the other hand, again, if you hold like Rebbe, lemaisa, again, the tenai essentially is batal, and the act is good. So what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, what happens if after the chalitza, he did kiddushin with her? He gave her kiddushin. He said to her, "Hiskachili bezekas yavmin, become kodesh with the zeka of yibum." So we'll say, so what's the nature of that kiddushin? If you hold yesh tenai, then as long as she has not fulfilled the tenai, then what? There's still a connection between them, and therefore the kiddushin is still good. If you hold ain tenai, then essentially we ignore the tenai altogether, and therefore again what? Therefore chalitza took place, and there is no bond. Therefore again, hiskachili bezekas yavmin is a meaningless statement. Well, so just so you should know, we have the drama paskins in tonight bechalitza. You cannot impose any kind of tonight bechalitza. And if you do, now again, remember, this is very important, because when we say that there's no tonight bechalitza, that means even if you do impose the tonight is bottle. So the Gemara, on the other hand, Ravina says, no, the chuli alma yesh tonight bechalitza. Maybe not. Maybe everybody agrees that there is a tonight bechalitza. Bahacha betanai kafakam if again. This is interesting. This is a more general discussion about when you make a tenai, how does a tenai have to be worded and formulated in order for it to be binding? So mostly there's a concept of a tenai kafel. Tenai kafel means that you have to phrase the tenai both in the positive and the negative. So for example, how would this work over here? This is your chalitza in the event that you give me 200 zuz. And if you don't give me 200 zuz, the tenai is not, the action is void. That's called the tenai kafel. You phrase it in the positive and the negative. Where do we get that from? Bless you, just as an aside, that tenai construct or framework comes from B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain, that when they wanted the Transjordanian lands. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them that if you come and fight with Klal Yisrael in Canaan and help conquer Eretz Yisrael, then you can live in the Transjordanian lands. But if you do not go ahead and come into Eretz Yisrael and help fight, you cannot have these lands. So the Gemara understands the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu phrased it in the positive and the negative. You see, we think he's just being Jewish, right? Because that's often how Jews speak. Right? But it's not. The Gemara understands over here that no, he's actually formulating or creating the construct of a tenai. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that perhaps that's the machlokes. Ma'asar b'inan tenai kafel, ma'asar lo b'inan tenai kafel. One opinion holds that you require a repeated tenai, a double tenai, and the other opinion holds that you do not. So both say. So what comes out is there are about six different variations of what this machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in the Braisa actually is. Okay, says the Gemara.
Are they saying that the Tanai is puzzled or the Chalitza is puzzled? When he says, which is puzzled?
If you say Tanai bottle, then it's the Tanai that is bottle, the Chalitza stands. Correct. That is correct. We essentially ignore it. Correct. The same way that if you attach the stipulation that runs contrary to halacha in any other way, that tenai is batal. You know, if I go ahead and I sell you my phone and I say I'm selling this to you on the condition that you eat chazer, I make that tenai. So that tenai is batal, but the sale stands. The sale stands because anytime you make a tenai that runs contrary to halacha, we ignore the tenai, but the transaction still is upheld. So the Gemara says the following: Chalatz va'asam ma'amar v'nasan getu baal. So let's remember the next case in the Mishnah. Let's say the man does chalitza, and then afterwards he does ma'amar, or he gives her a get, or there is bia. So remember, the Mishnah said that essentially once chalitza is done, anything afterwards is insignificant. And I will say, then the Gemara gives the same example by bia. If let's say there was bia, i.e. yibum, anything done after that bia is insignificant. So the Gemara says, v'nisni nami einachar bia klum. So I'll say, it's interesting. The Mishnah never says the phrase that einachar bia klum. Rather, it just says einachar chalitza klum. Anything done after chalitza is insignificant. So the Mishnah never makes that same statement by the bia. So the Gemara says, why not? Abai Rav Darman Tarvaihu, Tani Ein Achar Biyaklum. So both say, so Ein Achinami, Abai and Rav both state in the Mishnah that the Mishnah should write that once there is Biyah, i.e. Yibum, anything done after Yibum is insignificant. V'tana didan, so why didn't our Tana, why doesn't our Mishnah, so both say, remember how the Mishnah reads. If a person did Chalitza, and then afterwards he does Ma'amar, gives her a get, or there's Biyah, so what does the Mishnah say? Or for that matter, he does Biyah first, right? Yibum. Or then afterwards gives ma'amar, or does a get, right? Or does chalitza. So remember, again, the Mishnah stated, once chalitza is done, anything afterwards is insignificant. So the Gemara is bothered by is, why isn't the same statement made by Bia? Once Bia is done, once Yibum is done, anything afterwards is insignificant. To which the Gemara says, V'tana didan, hataras yivama l'shuk adifle. Because they will say, bless you, our Mishnah is dispatching a little bit of a subliminal message. Bless you, what's the subliminal message? That we would rather you do chalitza. Right? Interestingly enough, by going ahead and just simply saying anything done after chalitza is not significant, and not saying the same statement by Yibum, the Mishnah is expressing its preference for chalitza over Yibum. And obviously we've seen this already. This is the famous statement of Abishol. Abishol is the one who constantly endorsed chalitza over Yibum. Okay. Echad Yivama, Echad ve'echad shtei Yivamos. This is true with one Yivama, and true with two Yivamos. Masnisin Doloki Ben Azai. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Ben Azai. The Sanya Ben Azai, Omre Ben Azai said, Yesh Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar B'Shnei Yavmin V'Yivama Achos. So Ben Azai says that you could have a case of Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar with two surviving brothers and one Yivama. Rabbi will say, because how do you have Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar in that case? Each brother does ma'amar with the sister-in-law. Ve'ein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yivamos yivam echad. But yet again, Ben Azai holds that there is no ma'amar achar ma'amar with two yivamos and yavam echad. Meaning Rabosai, that although you can have two brothers each go ahead and do ma'amar, now obviously only one of them could actually do yibam with her, but technically speaking, both ma'amars would work. Rabosai, what does that mean if both ma'amars work? What does that mean? What's the ramification of that? That both would be usher in her relatives. Both, for the first of all, they both have to give her a get, and both would be us and her relatives. But Ben Azai says, there's ein ma'amar achar ma'amar with one yavam and two women. And Rashi says over here, the reason for that is, da'amar ein loke Ben Azai, da'amar ein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yavamos yavam echad, u'masnisi b'shtei yavamos yavam echad kamari. So we'll say, so again, our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Ben Azai. Okay, keitzad ma'amar lezo. Let's say that our Mishnah supports Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? The Amr Shmuel, Chalat lebaalas ma'amar lo niftirat tzarasa. Rabbi said, remember what the Mishnah said? The Mishnah said like this. The Mishnah said that if he gave ma'amar to this one, let me just read this to you. Ketzad asa ma'amar, ketzad, let me just find the case over here. Ketzad ma'amar, ketzad asa ma'amar b'vindo, v'nasal, no, let me just find that case. Keter, asa ma'amar bezu u ma'amar bezu, tzrichos shnei getin vechalitza. So we'll say, so listen to this. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. Let's say that this case, okay, Rashi says it, thank you, Rashi. Let's say this, the Shmuel, look at Rashi. A ma'amar lezu vechalitza lezu kai. The case of where he did ma'amar with one woman and does chalitza with the other. So the Gemara says, let's say this supports Shmuel, because Shmuel holds chalitz leba'alas ma'amar lo niftar. Now we'll say, now what's interesting over here is, you're not doing chalitza with the same woman with whom you did ma'amar. So you're doing chalitza with the other wife, with the other sister-in-law. So the Gemara says, this would support Shmuel, because Shmuel holds that if you do chalitza with the woman with whom you gave ma'amar, so the tzar, the co-wife is not exempted. Also, we've seen Shmuel shita before. The logic behind Shmuel is essentially that what we call a chalitza psula, a deficient chalitza, only has the ability to release the wife with whom you are doing the chalitza, but does not have the ability to release the wife, the other wife. So therefore, again, if you did ma'amar with one woman, and then you did chalitza with that woman who you did ma'amar with, that ma'amar would work for her, but would not work for her co-wife. The co-wife would need her own chalitza. However, if you do chalitza with the wife who was not compromised, let's say who didn't have ma'amar, then chalitza with her would work for the other wife as well. So the fact that over here in this case, you're doing chalitza with the non-ma'amar wife, would seem to support Shmuel's idea that chalitza with the ma'amar wife would not exempt the co-wives. And this would seem to go ahead and negate the opinion of Rav Yosef. Remember what Rav Yosef said? Rav Yosef said, "Lo yishpoch adam me boro v'achirim tzrichim lan lishtos." That whenever you have a situation when even if you're not thirsty, don't spill out your waters when someone else goes ahead and needs to drink. So Rav Yosef was of the opinion that whenever you could minimize the collateral damage to the women as a result of chalitza, it is better to do so. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, because you're going to have to go ahead and give a get to the Ma'amar wife, Rav Yosef would have said what? Once you're giving her a get, do chalitza with her. Because you have to give her a get, she's already going to be asura l'kahuna. Do chalitza with her. And therefore, the other wife, the co-wife, wouldn't have the chalitza. She'd be permitted to a coin because she's an almana. So apparently, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, one second, mikatani cholitz. Does the Mishnah say that you should dafka do chalitza with the non ma'amar wife? Chalatz katani, it says, if you did chalitza with the other wife, di'eved, meaning b'di'eved. So therefore, the Gemara answers that no, the Mishnah is not telling us that you have to dafka go ahead and do chalitza with the non ma'amar wife. Rather, you could even do chalitza. You could do chalitza with the ma'amar wife, thereby sparing the non ma'amar wife from any of the collateral damage of chalitza. But if you ended up doing chalitza with the non ma'amar wife, that exempts them as well. Get lezu v'get lezu. Leima v'seyele v'rava baravuna. So I say to which the Gemara says again, in the case of where you have to give a get to both of them, when there was ma'amar on both of them, so say that this supports the position of Rabbi Rav Huna, because Rabbi Rav Huna said that when there is chalitza psula, you have to go ahead and get chalitza from every single brother, to which the Gemara says, my tzrichos, what does it mean, tzrichos? Tzrichos da'alma. That's a general tzrichos, a general that she has to get a get. Lav dafka means she has to get a get from every single brother, but in general, a case like this has to receive a get. Okay, get lezu v'chalat lezu. He gave a get to one and chalitza to the other. Le'em say le'em Shmuel. Say that this supports the position of Shmuel. V'tehevit yuvte d'Rav Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, remember again, supports the position of Shmuel because Shmuel holds that once you have done, once you go ahead and you give a get to a woman, so chalitza with her will not exempt the co-wife. So say that this supports the position of Shmuel, and it's a refutation of the position of Rav Yosef, who holds that, again, when the woman has already received the get, you might as well just do chalitza with her, minimize the fallout of this on the other wife, to which the Gemara says, Mikatoni cholitz. Does the Mishnah say you must do chalitza? Chalatz katoni. It says he did chalitza, di'eved, b'di'eved. Okay, chalatz v'chalatz o chalatz v'listni nami ein achar bia klum. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that once there is bia, anything afterwards is irrelevant? I.e., once there is yibum, anything afterwards is irrelevant. Abai and Rava darmi tarva, because Abai and Rava both hold the following: Tani ein achar bia klum. In Abai and Rava's version of the Mishnah, it had that statement that once you do yibum bia, so then there's nothing else to talk about. To which the Gemara says, "Vatana didan hataras yevama l'shuk adifle." And as we said before, our Tana is of the opinion that going ahead and having a woman do chalitza and permitting her to the general marketplace is better. When you say marketplace, you mean the marital marketplace. So when it says, Ben Yavam Echal Ishtei Yavamos. So remember again, the case over here is if the Yavam went ahead and did chalitza with one of them, then the ma'amar that he does with the second one is absolutely irrelevant. Okay, logically, he does yibum with one of the women. Any subsequent ma'amar with another one of the women is irrelevant. It says Gemara Bishlal Rabbi Yochanan to Amar Kula Beisa Belav Koi. So say, I understand that. I understand this according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds a bosai that once you go ahead and you do chalitza with a woman, let's say again, remember, Reuven dies, leaves behind two wives, Shimon's surviving brother, Shimon does chalitza with Rachel. Okay, so now what is the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah is saying that if Shimon were to subsequently do ma'amar with Leah, the co-wife, that ma'amar would be absolutely irrelevant. So the Gemara says, I understand this statement. I understand why the Mishnah needs to make this statement. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the status of, we'll call it, Leah, wife number two, after he does chalitza with Rachel, wife number one, is that she's asura belav. Therefore, again, Mishnah itzrich lashmo inon de'ein kiddushin tov sin bechayve lavin. Therefore, the Mishnah is coming to teach me that what? That kiddushin is not effective when? With chayve lavin. Okay, with a relationship that is punishable by a lav. El Reish Lakish Dharma Kula Besa Bekares. Nabo says it's actually very interesting. But according to Reish Lakish, who holds that once Shimon does chalitza with Rachel, so Leah is Asura Bekares. Then Nabo says, how would Leah be Asura Bekares? Because according to Reish Lakish, when you do chalitza with a woman, So essentially the co-wives revert back to the status of being your brother's wife. Of being your brother's wife, now your deceased brother's wife. And therefore, again, that relationship is punishable by kares. So according to that logic, it's trich lashmo inon din kiddushin tovse mechayve krisos. Does the Mishnah need to teach me that kiddushin is not effective in a relationship that is chayiv kares? That's obvious. Amar l'charei shlakish, v'shlakish, we'll say with the tameich, but using that logic. Seifa diktani ba'al va'asam ma'amar. So remember again, the seif at the end of the Mishnah that said that if he did yibum, he did bia, and then did ma'amar, it's trich lashmo inon din kiddushin tovsin be'eshes ish. Bosa, is it necessary to teach me that kiddushin is not toves? That kiddushin is not tovsin be'eshes ish in a case of a married woman. Look at Rashi. Bosa, three lines up from the bottom. Ulatamech seifa bebez yavmin v'yavama achas. Bosa, this was a case of where there are two surviving brothers and one yavama, one sister-in-law. Diktani bala rishon, that the Mishnah said the first brother literally does yibum va'asasheni ma'amar, and the second one does ma'amar with her. Ein achar biyaklum. What did the Mishnah say? The actions of the second brother, the ma'amar of the second brother, is absolutely meaningless. So the Gemara says, do I need the Mishnah to teach me this? Do I need the Mishnah to teach me the ein kiddushin tovsin be'ish? So we'll say, obviously the actions of the second brother are meaningless. Why? Because he's trying to betroth a married woman. We'll say, again, if you tried to betroth a married woman, if you try to betroth a married woman, right? In addition to all the other issues that you have, lemais again, halachically, it doesn't work. You can't be mekadesh someone who's already married. So why does Mishnah need to teach me that if brother number one did yibum, that the ma'amar of brother number two is absolutely ineffective? To which the Gemara says, Ella aidi detana hataras yavam echad v'yavama achos. But since the Mishnah was teaching me the way in which a yavama, in a case of one yavam and one yavama becomes permitted, therefore it also taught the parallel case with two yavamos and yavam echad. Va'aydi detana shtei yavamos yavam echad. It wants to state the case of two yavamos and one yavam. Tananami shtei yavmin v'yavam echad. It also seeks out the case of two brothers and one sister. So we'll say, essentially the Gemara answers is you're right. There are extra cases in the Mishnah that are not necessary, but essentially what we wanted to do is provide the parallel cases for each of the variations. There are essentially three different variations in the Mishnah. One yavama, two yavmin, one yavama, two brothers, one sister-in-law, and one brother, two sisters-in-law. And therefore, again, what the Mishnah Gemara essentially is, the Mishnah provided all of the cases in all of the different constructs, even though many of those cases are not necessarily because they're intuitively obvious. Okay, Amud Beis, Chalatz va'asa ma'amar v'nasan. So I'll say, what's the case over here? He did chalitza, and then afterwards did ma'amar or gave a get. Remember again, so the Mishnah says this is the case of yavam echad and yavama achos. One yavam, one yavama. So what did the Mishnah say? Ein achar chalitza klum. Right? That once you do chalitza, anything else is meaningless. Says the Gemara, bishlam achalatz v'asam ma'amar. I understand in the case of where he did chalitza and afterwards did ma'amar, it's tirich. So I need that case. Why? So that case is right. I would have thought nigzer ma'amar debasar chalitza. I might have thought that lemaisa, if you do ma'amar after chalitza, so again, I understand why the Mishnah has to teach you that case that it's enoklum, because I might have thought that lemaisa, I should be gozer in a case of ma'amar after chalitza, lest I come to confuse it with the case of ma'amar before chalitza. And I will say, what is the halacha of ma'amar before chalitza? Ma'amar before chalitza is you require a get. I require a get to dissolve, keep this simple. Reuven died, left behind the wife Rachel, one wife, one surviving brother Shimon. Shimon does ma'amar with Rachel and then does chalitza with her. What's the halacha? Chalitza is fine, but you still require a get to go ahead and dissolve the ma'amar. So I might have thought that just like in a case of where ma'amar precedes chalitza, you have to give a get. So too, in a case of where there was chalitza first and then ma'amar, I might have thought you should still give a get in that case, lest you confuse that case of ma'amar achar chalitza with what? With what? With ma'amar lifnei chalitza. So I would have thought you should mandate a get in both cases. Kamash malon no. Kamash malon delo gazvinon. Kamash malon that we say that the only time you need a get is when ma'amar occurred before chalitza. But if ma'amar occurred after chalitza, that act is meaningless. Ela chalatz v'nasan get lamali. But what about the case of chalatz v'nasan get? Because this is a strange case. He did chalitza and then he gave her a get. Why does the Mishnah have to teach me that statement, that act is meaningless? But using that logic, about unnecessary cases. Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Ba'al va'asa ma'amar. If a man did bia, i.e. yibum, and then afterwards did ma'amar, or ba'al v'nasan get, or there was bia, yibum, and then he gave her a get. So why does Mishnah have to teach those cases? Bishlama ba'al v'nasan get. I understand in the case where there was bia and then he gave her a get. It's tzirich sakadaitcha amina nigzar get de basra bi'ila. Ought to get the kame bi'ila. I might have thought that in that case, which should be gozer in the case of the get after bia, because you might confuse it with the case of the get before bia. We'll say, look at Rashi. Sakadait chamina, almost right across in Rashi. Sakadait chamina, ligzor get the basra bia, the lo tiskile beget, below chalitza, ought to get the mikame bia, the lo lemru get sagi biyavama, b'makum chalitza. So we'll say, I might have thought that when he gives her a get after bia, perhaps there should have to be some type of chalitza, lest you come to confuse it with the case of get before bia. Again, because we'll say, in case of get before bia, you still require chalitza afterwards. If there's no chalitza required in the get, in the case of get achar bia, you may come to go ahead and confuse it with the case of get lifnei bia. Kamashu and the lo gazrinan. Therefore, again, the Mishnah teaches us that we're not gozer. We're not gozer. That once there was bia, then any subsequent act is irrelevant. Ava baal va'asa ma'amar lamali. But what is the case of baal va'asa ma'amar? I will say it's such a strange case. He did the bia, i.e. yibum, and then does ma'amar afterwards. Why do I need that case? Ela aidi de tana chalatz va'asa ma'amar. Tana nami ba'al va'asa ma'amar. So let's say same answer as you said before. Essentially, it's mishneik symmetry. That once we stated a particular case in one situation, we just stated the parallel case in the other situation. Once we stated the case of chalatz va'asa ma'amar, of chalitza then ma'amar, we also quoted the case of ba'al va'asa ma'amar, even though, again, the case of ba'al va'asa ma'amar, to a certain degree, is an irrelevant case. It's just for what we call yibum chalitza symmetry. The idea that by the misna ba'al va'asa get. And since we needed to state the case of where there was bia and then a get, tana nami chalatz v'nasan get, we also stated the case of chalitz and then a get. Good. Bizman shehi, mas nisin delo kiay tana. Bless you. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of the following tana. Disanya, Abi Yosi ben Yochanan, ish Yushalayim, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Abi Yosi ben Yochanan, of the man of Yushalayim, said me Rabbi Meir, achas bi'ila, v'achas t'chalitza, bitchila, ein achare haklum. So we'll say again, because Abi Yosi said in the name of Rabbi Meir that when there is bia, whether it's bia or chalitza, yibum or chalitza, in the beginning or in the end, anything afterwards is not significant. We'll say, in other words, what Abi Yosi is saying is like this, that when there is bia or chalitza in the first thing or the last thing, anything after those things, anything afterwards is irrelevant. However, be'em emtsa ubasof yesh acharaklum. But I will say, if you do the bia or you do the chalitza in a whole string of things that you're doing, for example, you do ma'amar, a get, you know, do ma'amar, bia, and then a get. Or, you know, chalitza, or I should say, ma'amar, chalitza, and then a get. When chalitza or yibum are in the middle, then lemaisa, the things that occur afterwards could still have some level of halachic significance. However, if they are at the beginning or at the end, then by definition, it's the bira, the chalitza, that defines the process. So again, So the Gemara says again, achas bila v'achas chalitza betchila in acharei klum ve'emtzo basof yesh acharei haklum. So only if bira chalitza is done at the beginning, then lemaisa again is it significant. But if it's done in the middle or the end, then the processes that occur afterwards could have some level of halachic significance as well. To which the Gemara essentially says, "Ushle machlokos bedavar." Essentially, there are three different opinions. Tanakama savar bia deikala migzar gazrinan. So we'll say, so the Tanakama holds that bia. The ikala migzar means sheyesh acharei klum, that there is the ability for something to happen after it. Look at Rashi. Shosh machlokes v'davar tanakama d'mastisin d'amra chalitza psula ein acharei klum ava bila psula yesh acharei klum. So we'll say tanakama holds that when there is deficient chalitza, still that ends the process, but deficient bia, meaning a deficient yibum, still other events could occur afterwards. So gazrinan chalitza delekala migzar lo gazrinan. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Nechemia holds, bia nami leka lemigzar. By Bia also, there is no need to be gozer. V'etika amrit ligzar Bia achar aget. And yet again, when we spoke about being gozer in the case of Bia achar the get, that it doesn't, the Gemara says, she'en amol aklum, that it doesn't affect anything. Mishum Bia achar chalitza. That's only because of Bia that might occur after chalitza. Kevan, the difference over there is kevan de chalitza d'oraisa. Because chalitza is d'oraisa, excuse me, meida yodi, people know. Vidika amrit ligzer bia ach v'bia achar ma'amar mishum bia achar bia, and that's what you wanted to be goes in the case of bia achar ma'amar, because in the case of bia achar bia, in that case kevan de bia daraisa, because bia is daraisa ha meida yodi, people know. V'abiosi, and the third opinion of us is abiosi chanan savar la krabanan de gazri bia, that holds ultimately again he's goes in the case of bia that it would work. The gazer chalitza mishum bia, and ultimately it goes in the case of chalitza because of the case, in order to safeguard the case of bia. So I'll just tell you, interestingly, again, we don't have a lot of time, so I just want to show you this quickly. You can just take one of these sheets. You can also look at this on your own. Thank you, my sheet. So I'll say, here, I'm just going to start reading it to you just because of time now. But Lamaisa, this is the Rambam in Parakei. Halach, there are plenty. I made enough copies. So listen to this, Rabbi. This is the Rambam Parakei Hilchosim Chalitza Halacha Yedalad and Tezvav. So just very quickly, remember, all of this comes. This entire sugya, this entire parak is one mishnah, and this mishnah really is rooted in the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, about whether or not yesh get achar get, chalitza achar chalitza, or ma'amar achar ma'amar. So just very quickly, the Rambam writes, this is in Halacha Yudal, kvar be'anu shaget ino docha yivam d'chiyah gemura, v'china ma'amar ino kone ba'kinyin gomor, avala bi'ila kone kinyin gomor, v'chalitza docha osa d'chiyah gomor. L'fichach, get achar get b'yivama, o ma'amar achar ma'amar, mo'il, aval, aval bi'ila achar bi'ila v'chalitza achar chalitza ina achronam olas klum v'chein geto chalitza achar bi'ila ina mochel. So we'll say, the Rambam, first thing the Rambam says is that like this, there is no, once you have yibam or chalitza, that closes out the relationship. There is no other thing you could do afterwards that is effective. So once yibam or chalitza is done, whether you give a get, ineffective. However, again, because ma'amar doesn't fully acquire the yivama, and because again get doesn't fully sever the relationship, you can have one get after the other, or ma'amar achar ma'amar, or ma'amar achar get. So look what the Rambam says in Tesvav. Ketzad, yavam shenasan get liyavimto, v'chazar v'nasan get litzaras, harei zeh asur b'krov ashtein. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, if the yavam gave a get to sister-in-law number one, woman number one, and then gave a get to the second co-wife, then l'maisa, again, what? L'maisa, he is asura, he is asur in both of their relatives. V'chein shnei yavmin shenasnu shnei gitin liyavam ha'acha, ze achar ze, harei ze kigrusha l'shnein, u'shnehen asurim b'krov ha'sel, mehen ve'echar choy. So it's about to say, if you had two surviving brothers, and only one sister-in-law, but both of them went ahead and gave her a get, they will both be usher in her relatives. Okay. And then he did chalitza again with the second co-wife. So we'll say, again, halacha l'maisa, what you need to remember from this entire parak, I mean, remember a lot, but if you only remember one thing, it should be this, that remember in the machlokis, in the Mishnah between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel holds, in get achar get, in mamar achar mamar, the Chachamim hold there is, we paskin like the Chachamim. And therefore, Rabbosai, the halacha is like this. When one of the surviving brothers, or a brother, does yibam or chalitza, game over. That's it. Anything that's done afterwards is halachically irrelevant. But when it is not yibam or chalitza that is done, but rather, again, another process. For example, the yavam gives a get, or the yavam does ma'amar. Subsequent acts of ma'amar or get will be significant as well. And therefore, again, lemaisa, they'll have to be undone as also. For example, if there are two, so we don't have to go through all the examples. So essentially, lemaisa, the way you paskin is, once there is bia, once there's yid mar chalitza, game over, nothing more to talk about. But we hold yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, yesh get achar get, and any variation of those things. So just like there's get achar get, there's ma'amar achar ma'amar, there's also what? There's also ma'amar achar get, or get achar ma'amar as well. Hadron Allah, Rabbi Gamliel. New parak. Well, say just, you know, whenever I give you these Rambams, in your free time, you always should go ahead and look at them, because the truth is, the beauty of the Rambam, let's say as opposed to the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch often quotes many different opinions, the Rambam doesn't quote many opinions. The Rambam quotes the opinion, halacha, right? So it's very good. One of the major advantages that Sephardim in general have over in halacha, over Ashkenazic halachic literature, you know, everybody has an opinion, right? You know, by the Sephardim, right, you have, like, whether it's the Rambam or, you know, Yakut Yosef, you know, you have, like, Sephardim Shapos, you're going to say, listen, guys, there's a lot of opinions. I'm telling you what the halacha is. Incredible. Incredible thing. Any of it makes you want to switch teams. Says the Gemara. Hajin Allah Rabbi Gamliel. So we'll say end of the parak. New Mishnah. Haba al yivimto bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid. So we'll say. So now we're going to get into interesting cases. The Yavam has relations with the Yavama. B'shogeg and b'mezid. Now we'll say, we're going to discuss how exactly. You know, listen, accidents happen. That's for sure. But this would be an interesting. So we'll say, so look at Rashi. Rashi says, shogeg, savar shuhu ishto o isha acheres. I don't know how you explain this one. Right? He thought the Yavama was his wife. It was dark. Right? He thought the Yavama was his wife, or he thought she was another woman. Okay, so we're going to define this case in the Gemara. So that's the case of shogeg. So meaning what shogeg means was, he had intentions for relations, but didn't know that this was the sister-in-law. Didn't know this was a sister-in-law. Also, by the way, also understand, no, we'll get into it in the Gemara. I'm sorry? Is Tamar correct? Maybe he never met his sister-in-law. They lived far away, whatever it is. So again, he has relations with her. What's the case of Mezid? Mezid means he has relations with her not for the sake of Yibum, but he has relations with her for the sake of Znus, right? He desires her, so he has relations. So again, this case over here, he knows exactly who she is. But again, the intention was not for Yibum, but rather the intention was from Znus. Or Bein Ba'onis, Bein Baratzon. Whether this happened willingly, right? Willingly or against his will. Afilu hush, and again, we'll define all of these cases. Afilu hush shogeg basu. Afilu hush shogeg vimezida. Rabbi said, let's say you have a case where he's shogeg, meaning he thinks that she's someone else. She's mezid, i.e., she wants to have relations, but not for the sake of Yibum. Or who mezid he shogeges. Or he's mezid, i.e., he wants to have relations, but not for the sake of Yibum, but for the sake of just his own desires. Vihi shogeges. And she's a shogeg. Who onis vihilo anusa? He is being compelled, but she is not being compelled. He anusa vihulo onis, or she is being compelled, and he is not being compelled. Echad hama'ara ve'echad agomer. We'll say ma'ara means that, let's say again, I will say there was bia, but not full bia. Ma'ara means partial penetration. Now, how much penetration? Because obviously, there's a certain point in time where there's so little penetration that it's not considered to be an act of bia. So ma'ara just means partial. So we'll define what that is in the Gemara. Or gomer. Gomer means, I will say, one who has a full active bia. Kana. Rabbi saying, all of these cases, kana. Kana means what? Yibum has been affected. Velo chilek bein bia lebia. So we'll say, essentially the Mishnah is teaching us a very interesting concept, which is, bia is bia is bia. That we don't look necessarily at the circumstances of the bia, but as long as bia has occurred, Yibum has been affected. V'chin haba, so we'll say, now this is not just true by Yibum, but rather it's true also, v'chin haba kol achos mikol arayah shebetorah. So too, if one has relations with a woman who's an erva, o psulos, or for that matter, again, a woman who's pasul to the kuhuna. Kigon, amara lekoin gadol, grusha vechalutza lekoin hedyot, mamzeres unasina li Yisrael, bas Yisrael amamzo lenosin, pasla velo chilek bein bia lebia. So we'll say, we're going to see again, in all of these cases, these are also women who are all asura. Essentially, what the Mishnah is saying is, at the end of the day, we don't look at the circumstances of the bia, but rather we just look to see has bia occurred or not. If bia has occurred, the circumstances of the bia are irrelevant. For Yibum purposes, we will say that bia has occurred. And lemaisa, in other cases where the bia itself is prohibited, then lemaisa, again, in that case, again, we will also view the bia that it's occurred, and we don't look look at the circumstance. Rabbi say there are a number of things that are mixed in over here. The Mishnah says over here that in the case of arayos, in a case of a prohibited relationship, if bia occurs, we don't look at the circumstance of the bia, but if the bia occurred, then the ma'aseh is aser. And Rabbi say in the case of poslos. Now, the case of poslos over here is something very interesting. These cases of poslos is, these could be situations where this woman, if she has relations with a particular man, is no longer permitted to go ahead and eat of truma. So we're going to discuss all the specifics, but essentially we have three different cases in this Mishnah. Case number one is a case of Yibum. Case number two is a case of arayos, forbidden relationships. Case number three is a case of what we'll call psula, of where a woman is rendered psula. We'll see psula for what? The common denominator of all three of these cases is that as long as bia occurs, we don't necessarily look at the circumstances surrounding the bia, but as long as the bia occurred, ultimately, again, the ramifications of that bia are felt. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up here Mir Tashem tomorrow with the Gemara. Again, just a reminder, tomorrow is a Sunday schedule, so we daven 7:15, and Mir Tashem, we learn afterwards.